Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host, a spiritual mentor, a sound therapist, and a guide for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to map your experiences, and all with no fear, to get out of these self-judgments. And this program is an empowerment program for you where I bring guests, where they share their gifts, how they help others, or how they're using their gifts for themselves, so that we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged to flourish and to bloom. And I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandment of love your friend, your neighbor, your gardener, your partner, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And the focus is first on ourselves, to find the expression, to find the expressions to ourselves that we can enjoy ourselves and love ourselves so we can give unto others. So thank you very much for being here. And today I have a wonderful guest, a unique guest. His name is Chris Lee. He's a clinical hypnotherapist. He's a Canadian clinical hypnotherapist, and he's specializing in his method of past life regression to eliminate persistent aches, pains, fears, phobias, debilitating emotions like anger, confusion, depression, those stuck feelings that we have. And the thing is, without any medication, no continuation of, no prescription, no ongoing therapy sessions, just really going through our past life memories. And many things can trigger emotions throughout our days and throughout our daily lives. And I really feel that bringing Chris on is really a treat for me and for everybody else. So hi, Chris, how are you?
Okay. Hi, Ilan. Excellent. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Wow.
And hopefully I can share some information about what I do and that type of thing.
That is great. And that's why you're here, really, to empowerment, to have a conversation about. Because many people are a little skeptic when it comes to something that is not being seen with our own physical eyes, you mm-hmm. know. And what many people believe, oh, if it's not here, it doesn't exist. And we know that many of us also know that what we see is only a fraction of what really exists. It's like the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. So. Mm-hmm. So why don't you share first, share a little bit about yourself and how did you even start about getting into life, past life regressions? Yeah.
Well, through the years, Ilan, I've worked with people a lot. I did sales many, many years ago, and then I was a policeman for 8 years, so working with people. And then along came a chance to take clinical hypnotherapy. So I took the chance, and it's really made a change in my life. From that, now, for a year, I realized doing this that it dealt with current life. Take people back in hypnosis, back to earlier in their childhood, to maybe find out why they have aches, pains, fears, and phobias. And I found that the stereotyping for clinical hypnotherapy is generally working with smoking, weight, and confidence. But using past life, current life, I mean, I found the effectiveness was only about 20-25%, which I just found not very high. I had seen a demonstration during our training, and actually we were all teamed up, and my partner was actually a medical doctor. And he was tired of giving people pills for the placebo effect, so he wanted to go further. But we did watch a past life demonstration, and I wasn't sure about it, but I figured there's got to be something more to life than just, you know, my 9-to-5 type thing.
For sure.
Or buying your way into heaven like my parents thought they were doing. So I started studying on the side about past life. There's a lot of authors and some very good books to read. And I found that practicing with my clients or some volunteers using past life, I found that the effectiveness became about 95%. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a big jump from 20 to 95.
Well, I know personally that I've experienced several times past life regressions. I know it, tremendous help.
Yeah, because I have found from working with thousands of people over the years doing past life sessions that about 98% of our problems, concerns, are past life. So if you're going to a therapist, and I've actually had sessions with at least 5 psychologists that realize now, and one's taken my training, would take my training, that current life, you're not touching it if you got 98% of it from past life. They're doing current life. So really, it's a waste of a lot of time. Does help you, but you have to go for weeks and weeks or months and months. My clients, when they come to me, I eliminate their concerns that they list in an hour and a half, 2 hour session. I can take care of 2 to 7 different concerns. And once they're taken care of, they don't come back. So there's no need to come back. Now, there is sort of, I jokingly say to my audience, there's a downside to being 95% effectiveness. And people say, oh, 5%. And I say, no, you don't get a lot of repeat clients because they're already taken care of. But there's tons of people. Like, do you know anybody offhand that doesn't have aches, pains, fears, phobias, or debilitating emotions? Very few.
Yeah, we can count them probably on one hand.
Yes. Yes, about it.
And I have fingers left.
Cute. I have to remember that one.
You got to remember that.
Yeah. I like picking up little analogies and humor. But what it is, first of all, I like to let people know, and I'll let your audience know, is that I am not a reader. Now, there are people that do past life reading, and they'll tell you that you're a gypsy or something. Like, who cares? My system is totally different. People watch my video or come to my talk, which I've done for many years over in 6 countries many times, to tell them a bit about what I do. Now, I don't do my video in that to have people say like, well, I already know about past life. It's to show them what I do, because as you are well aware, hypnosis is not what people see on television. There's none of that stupid swinging a watch thing. That's all stereotyping. I always find it amusing. How can somebody see a watch swinging when your eyes are closed? Is way beyond me. So what happened though is that it's just deep relaxation. So when you come into a session with me, I need you to have seen the video or the talk, because this way it'll go faster. You're not be thinking, why is he saying this? What's he gonna do next? How come he said that? Because thinking is not relaxing, and it's harder to get to your subconscious memories, which hold everything. It's amazing what your subconscious can hold. Mm-hmm. I can take people back and they can, if I've done this with 3 clients, to watch themselves being born.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's lots of stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But basically what I do when I do my talk, I have show of hands. How many people here believe in past lives? And a fair amount put them up. How many is not sure? A few. And I've only had, I think it was 1 that put their hand up when I said, who doesn't believe in it? And actually, she was kind of funny. She said, I have a good excuse. My daughter believes in past life and she needed a ride here tonight. So we let her stay, of course. She actually asked lots of questions. But I remind people is that if you're not sure about past lives, but your aches and pains and fears and phobias disappear in my session, which they will, who cares? You can think it's your imagination, but the bottom line is it'll disappear. Have an open mind. I actually work with 5 male medical doctors and 2 female medical doctors. And you would think those are people that might be a bit skeptical or not, and that type of thing. No, they know about the power of the placebo effect and the power of the mind, just that they can't heal themselves.
So basically, I mean, I've started working with a shaman many years ago, going through different practices on releasing and discovering things, and really challenging our perception. And perception is comprised of our beliefs, of our thoughts, and we are basically coming with a preconditioned state. To a certain degree, some of us come with a 40%, let's say, condition from past life. Some of us come with 80%, and so what you're doing is kind of taking away those layers that created those beliefs and those perceptions. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty well, yes. Yeah. See, what it's about is that what I have found. To explain is that, first of all, we're energy. We go into the human form. Now, when people get really heavy with questions on my talks, my common answer is, I don't know, but I know how to get rid of your aches and pains. Is that good enough for you? Because I don't get like really philosophical about it, but I have found from working with thousands of people, there's a lot of commonalities. We apparently are energy. The only reason we come into the human form apparently is to learn lessons. Because energy does not feel aches and pains or drag guilt or emotions around. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that we have a soul group. I actually take people to their soul group. How big it is, it varies, but whatever size it is, which your subconscious will tell you during the session, it's always the same size. And you actually recognize some of the people in it. So what happens is, and this is again, apparently, we have to come in to learn these things. So we sit together and decide what lesson should we learn this time. And because life is not a chick flick, we have a bad guy. Somebody has to be the bad guy, somebody's the good guy, that type of thing. And then what I've found is that when people come into the human form and only need about 10% of our energy, and I'll explain why I mentioned that later, but only need a little bit because our energy is so powerful. When we come in, we totally do not remember what our lesson is supposed to be. The main reason is, think of it this way. If you had the script in front of you, how would you learn? You'd have it, you know, be a bit boring, or what do we got to do today? So, and I cannot find people's lessons for them. They do ask me, it doesn't happen. But I remind people, just use your gut feeling or your intuition. Now, the bottom line is why we have aches and pains and those type of things is because our body cells have a memory. They've proven that the American Medical Association proved a few years ago from studies that people with organ transplants are picking up the traits of that person that had that organ. One guy hated pizza, loves pizza.
Yeah.
I would say to maybe look for somebody that's a musician or something so you can learn.
That's right. It's just like when people that are eating meat, many times the way of the killing of the animal is important, because the shock that is absorbed and the energy that is absorbed in the meat transfers with that. It's really interesting, because the fear, that's why also in certain ways of, and I know that there are some people that are listening here that are not meat eaters, but it's just really to describe the process that when an animal is afraid, the meat is, the body is releasing toxins into the meat, and then the meat is becoming, and then we eat it and we... You know, in Kabbalah, it's there is what is called the tikkun, the fixing, so to speak, of the soul, the lesson of the soul, and it says that which we are challenged the most during our lifetime is one of many of our lessons. If somebody is challenged with a lot of with addiction throughout their life, you know, the lesson is in that field, in that realm. Because it's pretty much what you're describing, just in a different.
Yes, actually, thank you. About the meat, I hadn't thought of that, because it's nice to have.
Well, you're welcome. I'll bring you to the group, and I'll join you into my group, and.
Yeah, but that does make sense, because again, people are picking up the traits.
Yes.
And it just makes sense. So what it's about, Elon, is that it's called lessons. Apparently, even people that aren't sure about past life do know that we must be learning lessons or something, or learn lessons. Now, the lesson that we are going into a life to learn, we can screw it up. And quite often, because we have free will, And the main two reasons why we don't finish that life lesson is one of two things. One, you really screwed up, like you're supposed to be Mother Teresa and you became Jack the Ripper. Well, I think you screwed up. Or people get killed too young. They haven't finished their life lesson. The amazing thing I have discovered is that when the lesson's not finished, it doesn't go away. When you come into the human form, what I see is that we do get a new lesson every time, but the other lessons drag along. That's why some people, like a lady in Australia, had typed out 32 things to work on. Okay. Well, there's only so much you can do in an hour. I did two sessions, but a lot of times it overlaps. Like,
so basically, if I did not finish a lesson within a lifetime, it can carry, let's say, four lifetimes until I finish that lesson.
Oh, I've had people with more.
Or more. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
To keep
things. In fact, one lady, you see, when we're in a session, your subconscious is easier to get to, and it's accurate. It doesn't play games. It's like an amazing computer. So I had this one lady. Now, I can find out what the lesson was for the life you didn't finish, not the current one. And it was patience. So I said, let your subconscious tell you, how many past lives have you done working on that? And she said, oh my God, 114. I said, I think it's time to finish it. So the advantage of being in my session is that you can see the lesson you haven't finished from that life and at least know what not to do and the importance of finishing it. Now, the amazing thing is that these lessons not done, your body cell memory brings in the acre pain, fear, phobia, or emotions that occurred from that life. It holds it and it's triggered. Sometimes you're born with some of these things. Sometimes something will trigger it. And what happens is that it's your subconscious trying to tell you that you got a lesson to finish. Here's the pain you felt then. It's just because it brings it with it. Well, if you don't know where it comes from, that lesson, that pain doesn't go away no matter what happens. And that's where I help people. So for example, there's a condition that 40% of the world have where they can't wear something around their neck or tight or have people touch their neck. Mm-hmm. And I gave it a little cutesy title. I call it turtleneck syndrome. It's basically they can't wear turtlenecks. It's because they've been hung, strangled, or beheaded. And obviously hadn't finished their life lesson. So along comes your body cell memory. It said, your neck's sore or remind you if there's a rope around your neck. So obviously that's why you can't touch that. And you have that fear and phobia and ache of pain. So that's where it all comes from. When people say, well, gee, I had a car accident, so it's not past life. It happened at my car accident. And I say, good, interesting. How long have you had that pain in that part of your body? And then one person said, about 9 years. And I said, well, I think you've triggered something because you can physically, like a broken bone can mend itself in six, seven weeks. If the pain's still there, you've triggered something. And no matter how much, in fact, year and a half ago when we were on tour, she had a car accident and she's been taking seven months up to where I was seeing her of physiotherapy. Mm-hmm. I said, how is it working? And she said, show me how your hand can move. So she put her arm up about there, but it was just, you could see the pain. So I said, put your arm down. Now, a lot of people don't put down stuff on their list of stuff to do because they think they're stuck with it or that's a way of life or something.
Yes, it isn't.
So I said, let your subconscious, and here's how my system works. I don't see anything they see. I have to ask questions. And besides, if I did see it, I wouldn't tell them anyways because they have to see it. So I said, let your subconscious take you back to the cause. Sometimes I'll say past life. If you're not sure about past life, I'll say cause. And of your concern in your shoulder. Now, I don't get specific and say which one it is. I'll just say, and I'll give it a name, your shoulder concerns. Within seconds, she's describing being in a battle, and she got a spear. She was a male, and a spear in her shoulder. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't lead. I'll say, which shoulder? You know, because that way you're not saying, is it the right one or left one? She said, the left one. And so a little aside, when people point out where their aches or pain comes from to do with this current life, it's always 100% that same spot. It's not like another your foot and it's your head.
Yeah.
But I said, now in the session, I said, she's still sitting there, move your arm around. Well, the look on her face, because she was doing this almost straight up.
Yeah.
7 months of physiotherapy. It's called cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
I say to people in the group, have you ever had stress? And they all go, ha, ha, ha. And have you ever had a stress headache? And most people have. Then I say, what have you done about the headache? And almost all of them said they took a painkiller. I don't want to mention brands because that's giving it whatever. So painkillers. And I say, I'll say, does it usually work? And they go, yes. And I said, does it take care of your stress? And they go, no. It's because it's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid.
I by showing you where your past life problem came from, it shows you the cause. And the effect, which is that ache or pain, it does disappear. Mm. I do have a couple little things that I say, have people say to that life, is to sell that life that, first of all, it wasn't your fault. Most of the time it wasn't. We drag guilt with us. This planet, we have been on other planets. This planet what I found people are describing in while they're in the soul group as very dense. We do come in to learn the aches and pains, but we seem to drag emotions more than any other planet. The biggest emotion, Ilan, that people drag from life to life is guilt.
Guilt.
My second one is actually getting funny. It's doing something embarrassing or stupid. There are some people that just can't. Anyway, so when they bring in the guilt is generally because they didn't finish the lesson. And or they thought they were killed because they thought they were being bad and it really was just an abusive parent or something. So they'd bring that. So when you are seeing this one, I have learned long ago that you can talk to your past lives. Now, whether you think you're making it up, I don't know. But the point is, the answers you get will be something you've never thought of. I've met many people, unfortunately, it's more female, that always feel guilty about stuff and they don't know why. So that's why I can also help on that end of the market of the mental concerns. And I'll explain why in a bit. But the point is that I have them say to that person, it wasn't your fault. And all of a sudden, that person that I'm talking to will start sitting up, feeling better. Then I'll say, move that arm around. Or if it's a fear of phobia, then I say, with your eyes closed, say, picture a scene in your current life, say to do with heights, that normally bothers you. And I don't see any of this stuff. I do seem to pick up through the years of doing this. My third eye seems to start moving a bit when I see that the people are relaxing or deeper. And it's almost like, it's gone, isn't it? And they go, it is. That fear, because they'll picture something that bothers you. Fears and phobias are one of the easiest ones to clear up. Mm. And it's not triggered in this life where somebody said, I got fear of darkness because somebody scared me in the dark. No, it just triggered it. Some things drag in. Sometimes we just trigger them because we got so many of them.
Did this work for you? How did you go through that? Did you first experience it for yourself?
No. See,
so you've never experienced this for yourself?
With me. I cannot do this to myself.
Okay, but you've experienced it.
Yes, because I teach people, and part of the teaching with the graduates, occasionally I'll have one of them work on me. If I think, now I know why I don't like cottage cheese or sour cream. It doesn't seem normal.
If those were our only problems, right?
Yeah, I know.
But the question is, did you go through your own discovery and healing through the same method in which you are working through? I mean, did you go through past life regression?
The thing is, I don't know whether it's because of maybe many past lives, is that I really have no fears and phobias. I have no persistent aches and pains. When I do get a pain, like, if I bang my knee or something and it's there for 2 or 3 days, I know how to use pain control using your mind, because 75% of pain is psychosomatic anyways. Kids don't cry that when they're hurt until the parent shows up and get rid of it. But basically, I've never had any. Maybe it's because I've had them all before and it was my job to come in now and start helping people.
Straighten other people.
Yeah. Other than cottage cheese and sour cream, I don't really have a concern.
Well, milk is not good for you. Anyway, but that's a whole different story.
I know. It's because it's for cows, not for humans.
Yeah, you know, there was a commercial here in LA, one of the billboards, and you had a big cow in it, and it says, do I look like your mother?
That's funny. I like
right.
that. I
but here, let me that. Ask you something about soul groups. You know, we meet many people. I know that I do that and I have that, and other people, and we meet many people and we have this spark of recognition.
Yeah.
Of recognition that we know this person. We've never seen them before in this lifetime, right?
Yeah, I bring that
up. These parts of our soul groups are these parts of soul groups that maybe we are not part of, but we kind of try to stay away from in other times. And Is this tied in what you're describing?
Okay. What did, first of all, you ever heard of the author Michael Newton?
Yes, he's actually the one that I think I told you about. He's actually the one that, after I had my own personal experience, then I start reading his books and I became white as a wall.
I know. And recognizing what I've seen. They're thick books. They're thick books.
No, it's like, seriously, it's these are thick books. Each book is like a whole Bible, you know?
I inadvertently read the second one first, and then the first one. I realized it was the order that I really was meant to read them. Huh. But it is heavy, and again, he does get really deep and deep.
That's wonderful.
So again,
though.
I don't go that deep. But one thing he did bring up is the fact that they're making soul groups all the time. Why? Mm. I don't know. But it's not like they're all made at one time. Now, how many are in your soul group? There's a range. Actually, it's 15 to 20. I don't usually tell people that in case I'm working with you and then it's the power of suggestion. But they'll put them together. They bring made, put them together. Like say, here's 10, put them together. Those 10 stay together forever. And they're held together with love. But to mature is what their job is. And they mature by going into the human form, learning these different things. Again, why? I don't know, but that's how it works.
Without remembering. The trick is without remembering first.
Yeah. And again, when you go in, it's to also help clear up the ones you've screwed up. Mm. You know, so nobody ever comes to see me if this is their first life, because first of all, they don't have any problems to drag in. They haven't been out there. Even people with 4 or 5 usually have nothing to bring in. People that had 900. I did have one time one of my students worked in me and they found that I have about 950 past lives. And
you don't have aches and pains and phobias and everything, man. No, you got to be something.
I cleared it up. Okay. I paid people off. No, I don't
you
know.
Paid people off, that's right.
Yes. So where was I? I lost track. But what happens is that when you come into the human form to do your lesson, the different roles. But yes, I use that example that sometimes you meet 10 new people and you go, that person there seems like I've known them all my life and I've never met them. Or that person over there, I've never met that person before, but I can't stand them. It'll still be your soul group, but they're the ones that pick the role of being the nasty guy. And you do not know exactly why they're there, because again, that would be back to you already know the script and who's in there, and you wouldn't take them as seriously. Mm-hmm. So that does happen, that feeling of recognition. When I take people back to their soul group and let the subconscious tell them how many are in the group, and I have them describe being there, and the answers are always the same, besides the word good, which is kind of, I expand. I says, does it feel like you belong there? Yes. Does it feel safe there? Yes. Do you feel like you're home? Yes. That's what it's about. And apparently, the more you learn your lessons, that feeling gets stronger and stronger as you come back. Mm. Now, occasionally, you might have a smaller group. Let's say you needed, think of it like a movie or a play, and they need so many actors. Say you got 10, but you needed 15. Apparently, we do borrow some from other soul groups of the same maturity that seem to be in the same area. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes we'll use them more than once. So sometimes when you do have a recognition, it could be one you borrowed, but more likely it's somebody from your soul group. That's why they're generally a friend or a relative, because you're going to be able to be with them more to learn.
Is there something on this plane, in this dimension, that, like you say, it could be somebody actually from my soul group or somebody that is borrowed? Mm. Is there something here that can give somebody that is more connected an indication whether that person is part of the real soul group or part of their, as in Kabbalah, it says part of their own soul? Is that going by, let's say I know somebody that really caused extreme damage, right? Do I know if that person is a borrowed one or somebody that is part of my soul group that is here just to trigger me to get to a certain place?
No, not really. Again, because if you knew, and if it was from your soul group, which is held together by love, you wouldn't take them seriously. You say, oh, you're just pretending. It's like in a play when they're doing the filming and the bad guy and the good guy, they all go for a beer afterwards, you know.
Exactly.
They know that it was just acting.
Exactly.
But one thing I do like to point out to people really quickly, though, and I do this in the group, is about hypnosis. It's hard to believe, but I bet you've heard of people that have a fear of hypnosis. Okay. It's because TV and movies, it's stereotyping. It doesn't sound interesting if you see somebody get a phone call and all of a sudden become a zombie and go kill people. Well, that's they call it entertainment. It's impossible. Doesn't happen. There is no walking up to people and looking at them and make them do something they don't want to do. I do get people think I can do that, which is stupid, because if people could do that, I think they'd be locked away because they would be dangerous, wouldn't they? And if people think that, I remind them, I could teach you hypnosis in half an hour, the basic, and you can then fight back with me. So you're not in charge. Like a big headline, 6 more banks robbed by hypnotist. It doesn't happen. Besides, if that did work, why don't I go to Vegas where there's more money and have the dealer think I won all that and save me some money or make some money? No, it doesn't work. But a lot of people don't realize they're in hypnosis 5 to 20 times per day. They just don't know what it is.
It's true. So it's computer games, it's being on the screen. All these things, you know.
Single focus concentration. And a good example, though, I said, do anybody remember high school? And hands go up. Then the joke is, I think I do, you know, because they're older people. I'll say, did you ever have a boring subject and you daydreamed? Hands go back up. Daydreaming is hypnosis. You're relaxed, and it's easier to get to the subconscious memories. You can easily remember a beach or you know, start daydreaming about being on a beach. And the main thing to have mentioned is that nobody makes you daydream, and you don't disappear, because what if the teacher came along? So we're always aware. You don't disappear. Mm. And like you said, the games, where I'll say, if you ever watch TV or reading a book and you don't hear people talking to you, which most people put their hand up, you're in hypnosis, single focus, concentrate. That's how we used to memorize stuff. Remember in schools we had to memorize
That's
stuff.
Right.
Now they don't.
That's right.
They just scan it or something, take a photograph of it. But you have to block stuff off and concentrate. And then the last thing to prove that people have been in hypnosis, I just say, show hands. Anybody slept in the last 24 hours? That's deep relaxation. How much deeper can you get? So everybody has to put their hand up. So, and nobody forces you to do these things. It's all hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Interesting, interesting. Wow. So you also have 4 books. You came up mm-hmm. with 4 books, right?
I think
you
so have far, them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did they? So this is Life in the Past Lane. I like that.
Yeah. Yes, there's a little play on Life in the Fast Lane.
Now, and these books are also. Did you write them in the sequence that they're out?
No.
They came out?
Well, what I did, first of all, these are, again, as I mentioned to you before, they're just case histories. Mm-hmm. I don't have any imagination to make all these up. Because a lot of time when I'm doing the session, I'm going, wow, I never saw that coming. it's fascinating because it helps people. I do know the formula that if something happens, then how to get take care of it. But I was going to just write one book. Then I realized when you got over 20,000 case histories, wow. They don't fit in here. So, and I wanted to put in fears and phobias. So I actually made it a separate book, a series, Life in the Fast Lane, Fears and Phobias.
So each book is targeting a certain
yeah.
Healing places that can,
yeah.
healing
In fact,
healing
okay, with fears and phobias, for example, there's a section on, put on my cheap glasses here. Like section 1, heights, falling, bridges. Another one, spiders, snakes, large bugs, in sections, crowds, open spaces, claustrophobia, darkness, birds, dogs. So I put them in sections, and then you go to it, and there'll be 2 or 3 or 4 case histories of somebody that had that, and it's gone. But some of them, you know, I've got a lot that are boring, so I took the best one. Then I did one on aches and pains, and the last one at the moment, there's 2 more coming, is crimes against humanity.
Oh, okay. What is that
red,
about?
It's red for a reason. This is because of blood. This is to do with clients concerning serial killers, Jack the Ripper, World War II atrocities, torture, dungeons, witches, sexual assaults, and
so when people read these books, mm-hmm. do they come out with some kind of some kind of tools? Obviously, not as much as taking a session with you, but. Do they get some kind of a comfort, some kind of a tool, some kind of an understanding of why they feel what they feel?
Yeah. A lot of them go, wow, I didn't know that could be fixed. Because when they come, I can't list the thousands or types of things that I cover. Like 141 fears and phobias. Well, yeah. I'm not going to sit there and list all of them. So it's better that they go through that and see. And then, like you said, then they usually get a hold of me. So mm-hmm. again, it's not a how-to book.
I figure that. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. I understand.
There are those kinds out there, which I don't know why, because every person's different. Every past life is different. How can you have that's why I teach my students how to go on tangents. You ask a question, indoors or out, are you indoors and outdoors? And if they say outdoors, then you switch to out in the country, or if it's indoors, house or building. So you do have.
So you teach, so the students, not necessarily the clients that come to you for healing, but the students, you teach them how to use your past life regression system to work on themselves or to work with others. Can they work with others? Are they authorized after learning from you to work with others?
Here's how they work. A good question, Ilan, is that I do get people that say, is anybody in my area that you recommend that to go see about this? And I'll say no, because I'm the only one that does this. I'm not going to send you to somebody that would, you know, take you somewhere stupid or something. No, but what I do, and on my website, I do have some of my grads that are making a living out of it.
It's down here. It'll be down here.
And then they can go. In fact, they have a link. People think I get a percentage off of what they make. No. I do charge for the training. Now, the training works. It was the last 7 years I had people would come. I'd hold the live classrooms. I'd pick a city, did one training in Mexico or a few in Canada and England. And because a lot of times there's costs of flying there and hotels and taking time off work. So my classes were 2 to 5 people. But the cost was there. Now, last year, nothing to do with this new restriction thing, I decided to start doing my training online, one-on-one. I still get people say, how big are your classes? And I have to say to them politely, what part of one-on-one got you confused? It's one-on-one. Okay. There's no but time zones. You can't put people together. No, what it is one-on-one. I use Skype preferably because it's a nice wide screen, because I have to watch you working with people occasionally. So I do give you a script. It's one that I've worked on and developed, and I'm changing it. Even some of my students have given me stuff later on, stuff they've got up that I've never heard of. So, you know, it's evolving all the time. So anyhow, they get that. I then walk them through it. And then do a couple of sessions with them. And then they practice. I have them go and practice on some people. I don't have to watch all the time. Then after they've done maybe 5 or 10, then line it up so I can now watch them do somebody. I'll do one of the sessions on one of their people. And I always say somebody you haven't worked with before, not somebody that's done it already, because it's too easy to go back into it. And then do a couple of those. And then just to check on... because of the script, they can read it. Because you get a beginning. Because you got to remember is that when you are looking for volunteers and it's free, you'll get lots of volunteers.
Yes.
But they will, you know, realize you're reading. But once you get to the point where you don't have to read, then you'll get certified. Because you got to remember, if you're going to come in and pay me money for a session and you're reading from a book,
exactly,
it's like
I had pretty good experiences with life with past life regressionists, I told you I was able to do kind of going to myself with myself to myself, but I had one time a woman where I could tell that she was reading, and I just got up in the middle.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it wasn't. There's something in the, because again, like you said, we're energy, and it is also about vibration and frequency. And it is so, if there is if a person is not 100% with the person and is not swimming in the material, I could sense that. I could sense it, and I just got up in the middle and I could see she's reading a book. Right.
Yeah. From, but once you know how to do this, and basically, my latest one was a woman in California. The only reason it slowed her down a pinch was it was Christmas time the year before. But basically 2 months, and she was through it. I've seen where some schools you got to wait a year and that kind of stuff. Well, sometimes people would like to get out there and start working now, and I can teach you how to do that. Remember, the client does most of the work. It's not like you have to, you're the craftsman and you've got all this practice of skill. No, they do. But again, once they do that, they can be certified. And they don't have to, some are doing it just to help others. Some, they don't need the money, but I got some that are making a living from it. Mm-hmm. But I want more people out there, because how many people can we cover with only a few people? Why do you think a small town might have 3 dentists or how many medical doctors? Because you can only handle so many. So I want more people out there doing this. Mm-hmm. So what I would like people to do is to email me at my email that I gave you, cl@pastliferap.com.
Yeah, it will appear here. On
okay,
the,
so
on the
CL
as well.
At Past Life Rap. The rap doesn't mean rapping. It's the short form for regression and progression.
I see.
It was easier to spell than.
I see. I see.
And just get in touch with me. Let me just have a quick chat with you and tell you about it. You do not need, I have to remind people, you don't need a degree to do this. You don't need to have medical experience. You just need to have the desire to help people. Hmm. It's very simple stuff, but
wow.
I'm
saying this is really fascinating. You know, you're talking about in the beginning, you were talking about free choice, and you kind of touched a little bit about a very vast subject that is open to interpretation, because the way that I see that, and also it's the way that Kabbalah is talking about this. We have, you know, the power is in our choice. But once we make a choice, that, for example, if you have a picture with 4 entries, like a puzzle, and 4 entries, each way that you will take will lead you to a certain way. It's just already a predetermined result. The power is in the choice of which way we take. So free choice is kind of, it's not a complete free choice, but it's a free choice to make the choice, but not necessarily in the choices we already chose. See what I'm saying?
Like free will, as I said, yeah.
A free will, but a free choice. Where is the free will? Is the free will in a way that we already chose and now we can change certain things? Or is it only the choice
affected,
of the choice itself?
Yeah. Love is affected by the past lives you're being affected by. That's why you get into that woman with 114 past lives for one thing, is because they keep affecting. This one lady came to see me, and she said she had fear of deep water. And that's one of the tops. And interesting is, these people with fear of deep water, generally swimming pools, they're okay. It's just a, sorry, a dog next to me.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes. And it's the water they can't see, and that's what scares them more. So what happened is that I'll take them. I just lost my train of thought.
The woman with 114, that she had a fear of water.
Oh yeah, she went to a reader, this woman, and told him that she had a fear of deep water. And he said to her, "You're right. You drowned in 4 past lives." Well, these are, as I said, readers. And people tell you that's interesting. So I said, why are you still coming to see me? She says, because I still have that fear. So I slowed her down and said, let's go to the past. Let your subconscious show you that. It turned out it was one, because he had described them. It was one. See, when you have 4 lives, it's not 4 causes. They're carryovers, just like you don't have that.
It's
you
the
have
same
that
cause,
fear this life.
He's
carried over. So we go to the right one, and it disappeared. That's how quick it was.
But what happened in that place? When you say you go to that place, and I mean, you obviously have to release or untangle something, or have the client understand something in order for that release to be released. It's not just enough to say, I've been drowned. I drowned 4 lifetimes ago. I see it. Now I get it.
Well, let me explain. I use this as an example for my crowd. I'll say, everybody here, just picture, here's a word picture. Pretend you're living alone, and it's a dark, spooky, windy night, and the wind's howling, okay? Often somebody will howl. But anyhow, then I said, middle of the night, there's a crash, and you jump up and go, what the is that? I'm being polite there. And you hear it again, you realize it's just the wind blowing a branch against the window. So unless you fear it's going to break, I would do the same, go back to sleep. But later that night, there's another crash, and you jump up and go, what the is that? And you hear it again, you realize, I don't know what that is. It's scary sounding. And then you run amok, like, you know, somebody coming to kill me, boogeyman, thief, or whatever. And if you check it out, which most people wouldn't, we resort to childhood. We pull up our bulletproof covers and try and get some safety. Don't sleep well. Noise is still coming. Middle morning, you get up to go to work. Wind's still howling. You go out the door and you hear that noise and it's to your left and you quickly look to the left and you realize it's a metal garbage can that the neighbor now has. He used to have bags. Now he's got the metal garbage can. When you see that, you're going to make a profound statement plus some adjectives about the stupid neighbor. Mm. And the profound statement is, it's just a garbage can. Now, next night, another dark, spooky, windy night, garbage can, windy, garbage can blows over. 50-50, you don't even wake up. But if you do, you're going to make that profound statement again, which is, it's those garbage cans, mm. stupid neighbor. Mm. Now, there's a point here. Mm. The noise is the same both nights. Why doesn't it bother the second night?
It's because I know about it a little
bit. Perfect. You know what it is. Simple answer. Yeah. You know what it is. Mm. And unless you feel the garbage cans are coming to kill you, you would let it go. And the next time you hear it, you'd be awfully silly to be, you'd be annoyed, but it'd be really silly. So what this is all about is when people see where it comes from or what it is and realize it's not from this life, but you've dragged in the fear of phobia, let it go. It's not like you have to really say it. It's just automatic.
Does somebody say happens. Now? Yeah.
Does somebody say you can let go of the garbage can noise because it's really safe now? You just see it.
Actually,
so when they see the correct past life, which they always will, because your subconscious knows which one is you're affecting from, being affected from. It always picks. It doesn't pick you, take you to half a dozen, and say pick one you like. It doesn't.
So basically, it came back to haunt that lady or whoever we're talking about here in this example, is because in the other three past lifetimes, she did not connect to that place and she just carried it throughout the life.
They were carryovers.
And allowed this instance to dictate how she would operate because she was, I'm afraid, so I'm not going to take a job as a captain in the sea.
Exactly. In
a ship.
Very good.
Right? Yes. Right. You know, that reminds me, actually. That reminds me. This is something personal. You know, this is for many years when I was a kid and growing up, I had many tics in my neck. Like I would do, like uncontrollably almost, you know, many of that.
It made noises? By clicking?
I click when I want to stretch, but it was like more like a twitch, like something like a twitch thing. And, you know, it was uncontrollable. Sometimes I could feel it creeping up and I could feel it tight. And what happened is when I started working with a shaman about 10 years ago and then going in through all different kind of processes, spiritual process and spiritual growth. And at one point I went into one of my past lives, which I discovered in the vision that it was a past life, in the happening as it was happening.
Oh yeah.
And I could feel in that time, I could feel my neck twitching and I could see somebody's hand on top and I could see like a 2x4. And it was like some kind of fixing in on a cross or some kind of a coffin or something like that, or some kind of a hand was pushing on my head and I could feel the time where those things were happening.
Yeah, you know? Pressure.
Since then it stopped.
Yeah.
Just like that. And you just came and reminded me that.
That's how it happens.
It's
like some people with sore neck, and sometimes it'll be, I always say, which side, left or right or back? And sure enough, if they're being hung, you remember how the hangman's noose is a long, tied up thing.
That's right.
When they tighten it up, they either have it, it can only be in one part of your neck, like beside you. I'll say, picture, see in your mind's eye, which side of the of your neck was the knot? And they'll say, oh God, it was this side, you know, and it'll be this side because not only they can't have somebody touch the neck, but it's more that one side or the back.
Yes.
It's just like you said, it's just seeing it.
This is fascinating.
But another thing I do remind people, if you think you're making it up, I don't care. I do make a profound statement to my crowd. I'll say, who's heard of imagination? Of course, the hands go up. And then I make a profound statement. I say, there's no such thing as imagination. And
you don't think so? That's interesting that you say that.
And I always give you an example.
Okay.
The way I do this is I have everybody then, the group, close your eyes. And then in your mind's eye, see or sense or visualize a lemon, a big, bright, yellow, sour, juicy lemon. then see yourself cutting it up, juice squirting out, and taking a bite of one of those pieces of sour lemon. Feel the texture in your mouth, swallowing it. And there's more lemon. Try one more piece. By this time, over half the crowd are making faces at me. Their eyes are all closed. They're doing
that kind of stuff. I feel this here already.
Already, good.
I know, absolutely.
Now, in a group of 20, for example, 15 or 16 will have had their mouth water. And there are some that, actually, one lady said, when a comment, well, I like lemon, so what? You still have your mouth pucker. But I did have people that say, well, that didn't work. And one day I decided, this one lady who was a bit adamant, she said, didn't make mouth water. I said, what's your favorite dessert? She said, pumpkin pie. So I said, close your eyes. Everybody looked at her. I said, picture somebody serving you a piece of warm pumpkin pie with lots of whipped cream all over it. She had come with another lady. Within moments, this lady next to her was passing her tissue because she was starting to drool. So I can find something. But the whole point of this, Elon, is that there's nothing in your mouth. Therefore, your body is reacting. But to what?
Exactly.
A memory.
But the memory is something that existed before.
Hang on. I guarantee 100%, if you've never tasted a lemon in your life, you cannot make your mouth water. It doesn't work. You can't imagine what the taste would look like. Your body doesn't react. So therefore, how can you make an imagination? So that is what I'm leading to. It's a memory.
So what you're saying, I mean, look, I know people that heal themselves from cancer through energy work, through deep meditation, through different processes of imagination. Mm-hmm. Now, they've never seen how cancer looks like. They've never definitely didn't taste it. And so, and yet, the power of the thought, of the imagination, of guiding certain energy through.
Well, they're not quite imagining; they're actually directing themselves.
They're directing. Okay.
They're having their subconscious, which is extremely powerful.
Okay.
But listens to your repetitions. If don't talk to Johnny, he's got a cold. You're going to catch that cold. You believe that? Like a lot of people do. You have a good chance of catching because your body. Your subconscious controls your immune system. It will lower your immune system because you believe it, so you're more apt to catch it. It's not trying to be mean or anything. It's listening to you. Doctors, one of my doctors said it happened to him too. When they're taking their training, they often get the symptoms of what they're studying because they're so intense. He started getting a rash. He was studying rashes, and he laughed. He said, I know where that came from. So the power of suggestion.
So what about when we are talking about let's imagine where I want to be, right? How I want to create my place. And let me tell you, personally, for me, it worked. And also for other people, it works. You're actually, the program, Abracadabra, create what you speak. Yeah. Abracadabra is in Aramaic. It literally means I create as I speak. Yeah. So we're creating
because you picture it, your subconscious will help you do it.
But I have to imagine it first.
Yeah, in a sense, yes.
I have to imagine it first. I have to create the field of possibilities.
Yeah.
So
then the subconscious helps you, yeah.
No, so somebody that has been conditioned all the time to think that they are nothing and that they are they've been put down, people that have been abused, some people to work with them to change their perception about themselves is to imagine by imagination, challenging the perception, challenging the way that we think of things. Yeah. So you don't think this is imagination.
Well, it's seeing yourself as how you'd like to be. You're
that's imagining. It. If a slave was born into slavery, and they don't know what it is to be free, you know, they can imagine of being out of shackles, right? I mean,
but there is limitations because they physically know they can't. They're tied up or something. But the bottom line with imagination is when I do that, then I say to the crowd, if you're not sure about that and you think you made it up, I don't care.
So about this approach of not caring, do you feel that people connect less with you or to you because you do care or do not care?
I don't mean I don't care about the person. I just don't care if they think they made it up or not.
I see.
Like belief in past life.
Good distinction. Let me make this distinction.
Yeah, I want to make this distinction. Yeah. No, yes. I don't. Because I love to see what's going to happen, and I love the look on people's faces when they move their arms, and stand-ups. One guy, lower back is a common one. When I saw that he had fallen off a horse in a past life, now I said, move your back around. And he went like this. And he said, did you hear that? And I said, wow, yes, it was a crack. And because remember, as I said, your body cells tighten up to hurt. And if it's not hurting enough, it actually puts bones out of joint. So when he finished the session, he stood up. He said, I haven't stood this straight in 12 years.
Wow.
Because it is straightened up. Wow. Also, just on the side, is that some things are not real. Arthritis is not hereditary. It is not a disease. It's a past life thing. Mm. What it is that, and because, you know, like this lady came in a couple of years ago. She'd been had, for 6 years, she had her hands a bit like this, hard to grab anything. And what it is, I said, let's go and check it out. Now, dungeons are the biggest thing for a lot of our problems. I said, let your subconscious show you why you have the hand concerns. I keep it simple. She said, oh, I'm in a dungeon. I'm a female, and the guards in dungeons are not nice people. They're not therapists. They're not social workers. Yeah. They were not too bright. They were there for torture. They were smashing her hands with a hammer, part of tortures. So I said, you see that, don't you? She said, yes. Say out loud, that's a different life. I can let it go. She did that. Then I said, move your hands. Now, do you remember Rice Krispies? Their motto is snap, crackle, and pop.
Yes.
So eyes are closed. She's moving her hands now, and it's like a Rice Krispie commercial. Wow. For about 15 seconds, it was snap, crackle, and pop. Then slowly it stopped, and she could move her hands around.
Wow.
That's how
amazing.
The bone. Now, some people say, well, I got arthritis, and the bones are all gnarled, or the knuckles. That's because when they're out of joint, your body does start building calcium stuff. That's just a physical reaction. It's not like a disease. And amazing. I've had many people, they get rid of the stuff. When people come in to see me, they've had a condition so long, they've learned how to pronounce the 30-letter word, you know, big, long thing. And I just say, I don't know what you mean. Where does it hurt? And that's all I need to know. But the one big word I have learned to pronounce is fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia, yes.
Two of my doctor friends laughed when I told them about that. And they said, when we can't prove where your pain comes from, we call it fibromyalgia so you'll feel better. You have at least a name to it.
So how do you explain that for the most part?
I just take them back to the past life, and it's always going to be an ache or pain. Fibromyalgia is like people have ache or pain. It's not like it's always the left shoulder.
It
varies.
That's right.
So what happened was when they see it, it disappears. It's the same thing as any other ache or pain. It's just that it's not from a definite break or that type of thing.
Wow.
So there's lots of conditions like that. And hereditary doesn't fit in well. We pick our families.
That's right.
If your life lesson was to learn how to have and deal with, say, diabetes, we're going to pick a family that's already in existence that already has that weaker gene that picks it up, or cancer, or abusive. We pick abusive parents to learn and handle it. Unless we come into this human life already mangled or crippled to learn a lesson. Other than that, we are in perfect health. But we pick. So if you had to learn how to handle diabetes, let's give you a family you pick. Like families that are abusive, if you had no choice and it was just a random thing, it'd be like, oh my God, I got the happy family again. I couldn't wait for another life to learn to get abused. You pick them. Because I get people say, well, I would have picked my parents. Because you do ahead of time. It's agreed upon. So there's lots of, but like little things, people coming in that say, I don't have any concerns, but I just want to see what it's all about. I think I mentioned earlier, I generally can find within 10 minutes at least 5 things.
Yeah.
One woman came in and she was clearing her throat continually. I said, how long have you been doing that? And she said, what? Because they're used to doing it.
She doesn't even know.
And she said, oh, it does bother people. Turned out she had died in the past life in Pompeii. Remember the volcanic that said that?
Yep.
And archaeologists are still finding stuff there, and they find that most of them never died from the heat. It was from the dust, the breathing. Yeah. And she left without coughing. She said, I can't believe this. So if people do anything, people cracking their, one guy was cracking his knuckles. He said, I got no problem. I said, why are you cracking your knuckles? He said, oh, it's to loosen them up. Get a life. It turned out he had been in a dungeon. They were cutting his fingers off.
Well, you're talking specifically about somebody who is clearing her throat. And I know at least two women who are clearing the throat. And that happens specifically when a certain person is near them. Or when they're talking about a certain subject, abuse. There's a complete trigger. Yeah. There's a complete trigger, unconscious trigger that is happening. And yeah, and I reckon this is amazing. Listen, we can talk for hours.
One thing I did want to bring up.
Yes.
People say they have birthmarks. They don't. Yes. You can call them death marks. Mm. It'll be where you've been shot, stabbed, burnt, sort of thing. I did have a lady one time, she said, it's got to be hereditary because my two sons have the same birthmark as me at the back of the neck. And I said, well, that does sound a bit hereditary, but I knew I was having a session with her the next day. So I said, let's check it out. Because most of the time I don't bother with birthmarks, so they're usually not bothering you. I said, check it out. She said, oh my God, you're right. In the soul group, her two sons are from her soul group, and all three of them were in a different life in an army. All same level, and all got three of them got executed the same way. So it's not hereditary.
Interesting. This one is fascinating.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Hearing and sight, they are actually mostly past life. So a lot of people think it's just a way of life. Huh. This when I work with my client and not on Skype, I have them put on headphones I have some boring music I put in there for them, and so there's no dead airspace. And then I do a sound check, and I have a little microphone that goes through a mixer, even though it's right in front of them, mm-hmm, but this mm-hmm. way other noises don't get in the way. So I said to the lady, just got to do a sound check. I said, how's the music level? And she said, what music? Hmm. So I turned it up a bit more. No, turned it up really loud. She said, just nice. I said, you have hearing concerns, don't you? She said, how did you know? Also, just a quick one. People with hearing problems, watch them. They'll look at you directly. They're reading your lips a lot.
That's right.
So anyhow, I said, how long have you had this concern? She said, since 15, about 20 years. So just to make it short, took her to the past life. She was a girl. Mom and dad were farmers, but it was poor. So they didn't have, a good door system. And a rat got in. Mom was screaming to the dad to kill the rat. So he gets his rifle out. She was in another room and very nosy. And she said, I'm very nosy in this life too. We do bring our traits a lot. She said, I ran around the corner. And at that point, the gun went off the rifle and it deafened her. And there's where it came from. But the thing that still gives me goosebumps, and it's in my book here, within moments, she said to me, can you turn the music down?
Oh, interesting.
That's how fast this works. Because all it is your muscles being held tight. So the hearing is being held. Let's go. What's to stop it?
That's right.
This works so easily.
That's fascinating.
Just to finish, mental health, people with depression, suicidal tendencies, or confusion or anger, is to do with stuck lives. We have lives that we have died. We didn't leave. And because we can be in more than one body, remember I mentioned we only need about 10%. Mm-hmm. It comes back. Is that we can have three or four that we're still stuck in. They'll only be stuck there because of extreme emotion, like revenge. I'm going to kill the guy that killed me. Or I'm confused. Am I really dead? I got things to do. I got to help my family. Those things. Now, when they're still stuck there, they are affecting you because you're part of it. Mm-hmm. But you don't know where it comes from. That is why this one lady, she had anger. She said, life's great, but I'm angry all the time. I don't know why. And I've been in therapy for years. Mm. I said, let's find out. Sure enough, she had a life that held her with anger. So I said, and I helped them clear it up. I said, go to see that one and take them home. In other words, to your soul group, that part of you. And the reason why it does come now, not being stuck, is because we listen to ourselves better than somebody else saying, go home. I took her home and she started sitting up like this. She said, I can't believe this. Anger's gone. Hmm. And I spent years in therapy and you did it in 10 minutes. That's what my system helps you with. Your stuck lives are causing it.
Let me ask you last question before we leave. Do you recognize certain things in people before you actually go into a session? Like let's say you and I are talking, right? And you are recognizing something before, or do you actually have to go first into the session and into the hypnosis before you start unraveling things? Like you as a person, as Chris, do you recognize certain things?
No, I
you have to go into the session.
I know you're a nice guy because you told me so.
You don't know that.
No, it's just a simple, you give me a list. I have a questionnaire. You just tell me what hurts and stuff. That when we do get started, I ask you a few other questions, like how long you had the anger pain. And then away we go. And it just unfolds. The look on people's faces when they move parts that they haven't moved for years is so priceless. I want people to get hold of me so they can learn to do this because we need more people. No medicine, no hands-on.
We need more people. We need to elevate the frequency of everyone and everything that is around us because we're really in a very tight spot energetically. And Chris Lee, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming here and sharing with your gifts. And for everybody who is watching, I will. You're seeing the information here, and you'll have the information, and you have the books, and you have the.
I have a special on my books.
What is the special on your book?
Well, normally the stores sell these for $50 to $20 each. Right now, if they mention your name or your show, one is $10. Mm-hmm. If they buy two, it's $15. Three is $20, and four is $25. And if you get all four, I include a CD, Relaxation Plus.
Oh, wonderful.
But you do have to pay for the posters because I don't have a white beard and red outfit.
and a reindeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Chris Lee, thank you so much, and thank you for everyone who took the courage, who displayed courage to come and to listen and to be open to something that you may not be familiar with. And so thank you for being here. Thank you, Chris Lee, for being here. Create what you speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Good night. Thank you.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.